Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Have you ever walked the streets of KL late at night? After the shops have pulled down their shutters and the stampede of commuters have long since reached their homes. If you have, you might have noticed the shifty, shadowy people reclining in doorways and in front of shop houses, with their cardboard boxed walls, they camp on top of old newspapers, exposed to the elements, under a starless night sky. Not too long ago, I joined a band of brothers and sisters, volunteers at Kachara Soup Kitchen, who traversed these streets, feeding the capital's destitute and homeless. Every Saturday night, the volunteers meet to pack the food before they head out on their rounds.
My name is C.K. Leong. I've been helping out for about 6 months, maybe.
So what made you get involved and spend your weekends, working in late hours, trawling the streets of KL?
I don't know, somebody introduced me, my wife knows somebody, and we went one round to try. And after all, my Saturday is hanging around anyway, watching TV, and basically the same thing every Saturday, so why not do something beneficial for someone else?
And it actually makes you feel better about yourself,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, and the one thing is that you don't feel tired because you have these feelings for these people, And sometimes when we are late, we felt, oh, we better go hurry because I think they're going to get hungry, And when it rains, we always think about them. Where are they going to stay tonight, Do they get wet, Sometimes do they have a place to hide or we don't know what happened to them. So we think of them, even not on a Saturday or on a usual day. We feel that we are so lucky, we have a proper bed to go home. When it's hot, we turn on the aircon, These people just lie on the roadside with all the noise and everybody walking past them in the dust. Anytime people will come and kick them, so I think we felt lucky and we need to do something for them.
But before you came to Kachara Soup Kitchen, did you not know that there were homeless people or did you not think about it at all?
I think we sort of know there are homeless people, but we don't have this inclination to think about it. We sort of like, well, these are different people, they're on the streets. They deserve it, or they must have gone through some bad time and they must have not worked hard, that's why they're on the street. But I think when we work with the people, we felt that some of them have a lot of reason. And the way they got into the situation is simply just maybe a small little thing. Like, for example, they lost a job, or they lost the IC. They went into a police jail for a few days and they came out and they lost everything. They're not a single dollar left. So they don't have a place to stay, so they hang around. And I've seen a family with a father and mother and a child lying on the floor. When you look at that situation, it's quite touching, It feels so bad. It feels so bad that it happens to people like us around us,
So is it easy to become homeless, you think, in Malaysia?
I think so. We have met people who went into a lockup for 2 days, And they came out, they lost the IC because the IC was taken and they haven't got an IC. And in Malaysia, you don't have an IC, it's a very difficult thing and you can't get a job. You don't have money, so you got to stay around the streets. So it's simple as that. And somebody will come over looking for a job and suddenly the factory closed, you have nowhere to go. So there's a lot of people out there like that come from some villages, from Kuantan or from East Malaysia or Johor. Most of them got similar stories, basically. They came to look for a job. And some of them basically got retrenched, but they couldn't find one, they're embarrassed to go back home, so they try to hang around looking for something better. After a while, they get used to it, So I think that kind of things seems to be so simple to happen. And sometimes I feel like it can happen to me.
Justin Cheer is the main organizer and essentially the CPU of the soup kitchen. His mind is like a map of all the homeless, where they sleep, an archive of broken dreams. Justin calls them his clients.
You just pick up two from here, then it come fair enough, right?
Either way, it works.
How many packets do you have today?
500 packets today. Yeah. Now we have a lot of like a lot of new volunteers coming in every week. So, but it's nice to see people from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, religious views, race. You know, it's from the beginning. It has been like that. It has been the culture like. Well, hunger knows no barriers. Everybody comes and give out the food to everybody.
So I remember last time when we went on the round, you seem to know every person and where they are located at any time. I mean, has the number of homeless people that you service, has it grown as well with the number of volunteers?
Yeah. Because with the help of all the volunteers, we have managed to spread our network. So we... Radius-wise, we are able to reach out to even further.
How large is the radius?
Well, Jalan Sentul, Ipoh, Jalan Ipoh, yeah. It stretches way until Pudu Market. Well, previously, we only started around in Petaling Street and Chow Kit, you know, remember? Mm-hmm. So, as time goes by, you know, more and more volunteers come, you know, and the ones who knows the road well, so they expanded and they explore more. You see, sometimes homeless do travel around. So whenever we couldn't locate them, we tend to like round and round again. So, oh, there you go, there's another one here. As volunteers' commitment grow, the network becomes bigger. Yeah.
But do you still know all their names and you all that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they are, we keep a record of them. We register them so that we are able to know them more. You know, something happened to Mr. A, you know, let's say this week, so we'll keep it up. We'll keep it in the records so that when the building is up in the future, we are able to assess this person better.
You have a history of each person.
Yes, we have a history and what they say. You know, we volunteers come back to me, giving me a report, a small report, telling that how they feel. You know, what happened to them. So this also has enabled us to help more people. Yeah, with their stories, they come back, we know them better, and we know how to deal with them then.
So all the food has been packed and we're ready to set off. Divided into groups, the volunteers set out in a convoy of vehicles, each with their own route. Tonight, I'm following a van heading to Chow Kit. With me in the back seat is Mr. Wong Kok Wai, who will be my guide of sorts this night.
I'm Kok Wai, Wong Kok Wai. I mean, I wouldn't have imagined myself coming in the middle of the night to Chow Kit. There are some streets I haven't even set foot in, you know. So it's really an eye-opener, and then you look at the other side of life.
Yeah.
I've been out of touch with my religion, and you know. After we get caught up with all the rat race in life, going to university, becoming a real teenager, you know, partying and everything, I was kind of lost after, you know, get carried away, like I said, with life. Trying to make a living, trying to make something for yourself. And then suddenly something, after meeting with this organization, something just awakened in me and realized that this is something that I've been neglecting and I was trying to get back into that. You see the action immediately. You see you practice what you preach, right? Not just thinking about yourself, getting all caught up with yourself, your I thing, you know, about me, what am I going to do, you know, after you graduate, you get a job, everything is about you. I've been quite blessed in the sense that because I've not been going through any particular difficult thing, like most people will probably like, oh, because I'm suffering some sort of depression, you know, like my business has failed, so now I'm going to search for, oh, what's the meaning of life, you know, no, mine is not, I'm just at the peak of what I'm doing. I don't really have to work that hard at the moment because I've come to the stage of building my business to a level where I'm very free. I don't work more than 4 hours a day, right? So I have a lot of free time, and that free time prior to this actually have caused me a lot of trouble because I look for trouble, right? Right, going partying, you know, going out drinking with my friends, you know, stuff like that, like you get in trouble and then
wife.
Yeah, exactly. So now that I'm doing this, yeah, I'm feeling much better. So I ask myself, there's so much more other people need, you know. Why me? Why do I have to be lucky and not others? Yeah?
I mean, do you have an answer for that question?
Well, in a way, I would say I found the answer when I was doing this and realized that, well, sometimes you need to have balance. You can't be lucky every day because you have to give back. Whereas some people, they are in this deluded mind state of mind that says the sky's the limit. Even though now I'm great, I'm very lucky, I've got everything I want, I've got a perfect wife, I'm a great yuppie, you know, I've got plenty of money, I want more. It becomes a very self-centered, egoistic kind of thing that never ends. It's like a craving of sorts, and their desire cannot be fulfilled.
When you see all these homeless people and they have nothing, right? I mean, doesn't it make you question, how is that fair? I mean, why is it that these people...
I mean, for me, that was already, when I was 14, I already knew the answer, because karma, you know, kind of thing. I guess the more fortunate ones should always realize that, and in that realization, they should actually give back.
Mr. Wong Kok Wai runs a security firm, and he shares a story of how he tried to hire one of the homeless for his business.
I'm going to tell you the story, what happened. So I dressed him up, okay. take him for a haircut, do an entire makeover, ask him to trim his nails and everything, give him a motivational pep talk, and task one of my managers to actually sort of like be his buddy. Can you imagine? And then they spent time and groom him up, and he started work for a couple of days, and on the fifth day, I think not even come to a week, we gave him a hostel, we gave him a bunk bed, gave him a locker, gave him a full set of uniform. We even provide the transport, we even provide advance to buy meals, because he's homeless ma, so we give him some money. So after a while, he just disappeared, you know. He just packed up his things and he disappeared.
So what's the lesson there?
The lesson for me was, I come to realize that some people, they just have a certain condition that they cannot come out of. It's like
you
a mental,
it's more of a
mindset, yeah. Some of them, and some of them are really depressed, or some of them are really mentally not well. And when I see him again, I mean, he's still back on the street, this guy, still there. And he told me he's from Kajang, he comes from a quite middle class kampung family, they got land, right? In Hulu Langat, yes. Ulu Langat, it's a nice place, isn't it? Ulu Langat, a lot of waterfalls and all this. So they got a very laid back kind of life, but somehow or other he faces certain problems with the family, and he left the wife, even here it's a wife and child, you know, and then came to the town, came to the city, and he became homeless. At first I was really a bit angry, you know, in a sense, and I just realised how lucky I am to have a stable mind and to be able to conform to society's wants and needs, and this is how things work in our society.
Who's to say that this one thing is right and one is
wrong?
Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
So maybe he can live like a hippie lifestyle and be happy with it, you know?
Yeah.
So again, there's a lesson for me, is it?
We're approaching the centre of town. Kachara Soup Kitchen have two rounds, one at Saturday nights and the other during the daytime on Sundays.
I find the night one more interesting than the day one.
Why?
Because the day one is more like, how do I say, the different group actually of people, the older ones, and they are more in one place. Yeah, compared to Saturday night, you actually have to go and search for them, and you see the more wayward ones, the ones that are really
lost.
Some of the routes you actually have to look for them. That was quite challenging for a guy like me who is like, oh, I don't really come to KL myself. If I have anything to do in KL and all these weird streets, corners and all these, I'm always with someone who knows the way, you know. We all like pampered Damansara people, you know.
Yeah?
We're now in Jalan Raja Laut, the first stop on the route. Three elder men and two elder women and a young transgendered woman line up for their food.
Yeah, I see so many. Okay, let's do it. Met this character, right? He looks like a professor. He's a Chinese old man. He looks very elegant, like a gentleman. He wouldn't be fitting in the streets, you know. One of the way you look is look at how they wear their shoes and their clothes, right? So yeah, I found out after a while, actually, it's like, oh, because of pride, actually. He fought with his wife and he didn't want his kids to know. So he just went out on the streets and slept alone. If we want to give him food, he didn't want to take, right? So we actually talked to him for a while, then... Actually, all they want sometimes is not the food or the shirt or anything. It's just someone to care.
Yeah.
see they also migrate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the two ladies.
You know that there was one pandan. Yeah. She was so cute, you know. One, I gave some of my clothes, you see. The next day she came, then the following week, auntie, you gave me this, you see, so nice.
So we're coming to the end of the route, and Mr. Wong Kok Wai offers his final insight.
Yeah, and I learned one thing. So after doing this, right, you saw, like, as any other human being, you actually build up this bubble around you as you grow up. You know, in this world, even you go in a lift, you have a bubble. After doing this, right, I realized I'm more, maybe I exude more compassion, I would say. Really, people, you are more approachable. And when you look at someone, it's different. We have that ability to speak the body language to others, you know. By doing this, after a while, sort of like I untrain myself in that from that regular, you know, you're busy, you're walking the attitude in the town, I'm busy shopping, don't come near me kind of thing. It's like, what beggar, you know, I don't see no beggar. They are like in a different dimension.
Kachara Soup Kitchen have recently acquired a building in KL and will no longer be doing the midnight round. Now they'll be servicing the homeless every day. I'm Shifa Situ reporting for Isle of KL on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.